When I was a pastor in Arkansas, we had really a big number. It was I don't know, maybe 35,000. But we had one lady who gave 25,000 every year. So they really thought we were hot stuff, but we weren't. But she was. But maybe you'll find one of those here in your church as well. Let me mention one other thing. Next Sunday night, for a month, we'll have four teachings out of Jeremiah. And it just struck me that we might have a little hymn writing exercise here. If anyone just feels a hymn coming on when they read Jeremiah and they want to look at this, on the front row down here is a sheet about how you might get into that. And it's going to be Ted Mack Original Amateur Hour. So don't think like I have got to be Fanny Crosby, you know, or something to get this done. It could be, you know, Gomer Pyle, whatever. Just give it a shot if you have a desire. Well, you're saying, like, what is all this stuff here? Well, it's kind of show and tell. When I was looking at this text this week, the mind went crazy. Perhaps it was being in the midst of 13 people in our house, seven of whom were grandchildren. I don't know, but I just started thinking show and tell or physical illustrations or something. So just bear with me. This is going to be strange. I hope it's okay. But I love this text. Let's look at the text, if we could. And I tell you what, let's just read it together today. Wait, before we do this, let me ask you, do we have any former Boy Scouts here? They do. There's a scout back there. Okay, yeah, there were some scouts. Can you remember the scout law? Do you guys remember there are 12 things that a Boy Scout is? If I start, I should have you stand up and you just... No, I was a Boy Scout. I worked at scout camp. Let's stand up. Boy, anyone who's a Boy Scout, we're going to recite the scout law. You don't have to do this, but if you're a man, you will. No, I'm kidding. Okay. Trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent. There you go. Excellent. Yeah. All right. Well, the reason I do that is that Peter is talking to these people in the diaspora, talking to people in the Badlands, and he says, now, folks, you've really got to have this together. You've got to remember these things, do these things, to really be impactful and to be blessed and to be faithful. And so he, in this text today, is kind of running through the Scout Law. I mean, it runs a little before and a little bit after, but I got to thinking Boy Scouts, Boy Scouts, Boy Scouts. And actually, I got to thinking about knots, too. So you see some rope here. I'm just saying this is going to be a strange and, I hope, wonderful collection of illustrations. Let's stand and read this together, okay? I'll read it off the back here. You can read it off the front. And I'll lead us out. Therefore, with your minds ready for action, be serious and set your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you that the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the desires of your former ignorance, but as the one who called you is holy, you also are to be holy in all your conduct. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. And if you address as Father, the one who judges impartially based on each one's work, you are to conduct yourselves in fear during the time of your temporary residence. For you know that you were redeemed from your empty way, inherited from the fathers, not with perishable things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without defect or blemish. He was chosen before the foundation of the world, but was revealed at the end of the times for you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Thank you. Be seated. You know that expression about be serious or be focused in your mind, it's literally in the Greek, have the loins of your mind girded up. I mean, it is this curious thing, but you know when they had robes or long kind of biblical times outfits and they had to run, Then they would kind of wrap the thing and pull up between the legs, and they'd tie it off so that they could run, because you can't run in a burqa or whatever, the man's version of it. And so I got to thinking about knots and how important knots are to tie things together and to secure them. And the Boy Scout motto, we won't have you stand up again, but what's the Boy Scout motto? Be prepared. All right? So we're going into 2020. And we're going to try to be prepared. And the symbol you get for some of this is the square knot, okay? And a square knot is sure. And if I get these wrong, just bear with me. But it's like left over right and right over left. And there's a square knot. And I think, do we have a projected image? Yeah, have we got some square knots here? But here's the square knot. And I mean, this thing will hold. Now, and I mean no offense to grannies, but if you go left over right and left over right, you get a granny knot. Now, I'm married to a granny, and I really believe in grannies. But granny knots do not hold quite the same way. You can mess with them, and they can slip on you and slide out. And so you want this solid kind of knot. And we are to be solidly linked to the Lord. Now, since I got the rope out, let's just do a couple of other knots. It talks about obedience. You know, and it says that the obedience in the early part of this chapter, that we have been set aside by the Spirit for obedience. The Spirit helps us to obey. And so this is going to be probably one of the more difficult feats I've done, but let's see. This is my sail, all right? We're going to do a sheet bend, Scout fans. By the way, my wife got so tired of all the t-shirts I had from everything in the world, that she made a quilt out of my t-shirts, a lot of them. And a lot of them have to do with ministry. We would bike across Kansas and, Iowa, with witness cards and logos. And then when I was a pastor in Evanston, Illinois, we would clean up the alleys of Evanston and put them in bags and call ourselves alley sheep. And people would say, what are you doing? And then we would witness, and we're not alley cats, we're alley sheep. And there's Southern Seminary, and we would witness to the Jewish students at Northwestern. This is how you spell Northwestern in Hebrew, right to left. And here's a visiting missionary in Baobab, Indonesia. And this is witnessing with International Baptist Church in Brussels. And this is our church t-shirt for Billion Ball, Evanston Baptist Church. But anyway, this is the sail. And I hope it represents some things that have been done in the Spirit. But let's say I want to keep blowing in the Spirit this next year, blowing to projects. So, boys and girls, do not try this at home. But this is going to be a sail. And when you have a sail, then you put this like that, and you come around like that, and come around like that, and you have a sheet bend. The sheet is the sail, right? And you bend it at the end, and then you set the sail to be blown by the Spirit into whatever God has for you to do. You can move different ways in the water. One way is to just drift with the current. Just throw a stick in the Ohio and then go to Paducah. And, chances are you'll see it. And a lot of people see, they just drift with whatever the current is. Some of them strap an outboard motor on, and they're going to go where they're going to go, whatever the river does. By George, I'm going to that bank, like that. And that may not be where God wants you to go. But you're just determined to do it, whatever he cares about in the world. But then there is a thing about setting the sail for the Spirit of God to blow you where he wills. When I lived in Chicago, down on the lakefront at Lake Michigan, down by Lincoln Park and Grant Park, they had these docks for sailboats, and they would lower the sails when they weren't sailing and wrap them up and put a cover over them, and they were immune to the wind. And so many people do that with their lives, that they say, I will not let the Spirit touch me, move me, impel me, strengthen me. I'm just going to do what I'm going to do. But set the sails. Well, that one worked. The sail didn't work loose. I got one more, and then you don't have to be frightened anymore by this rope. And then he talks about being grounded in the grace of God. I'm just going to tie this rope with a taut line hitch, Boy Scout fans. And this is what you do to anchor your tent to a peg. And it snugs up and you can loosen it or tighten it. But be tied to the bread of life. Be constantly mindful of the sacrifice that God has made for us, of the resurrected Jesus who intercedes for us. Don't let go of that consciousness every day of your life. Enough with the ropes, okay? When you're a scout, you just can't get over it. Forgive me for that. Now, look at these slides. Let's get them back up again. These are different scout awards, all with a square knot. And you see they have different colors, different combinations, different backgrounds. For us to be solidly linked with Christ and with His Spirit in this coming year, we're going to do it in a lot of different ways. I've been following the traffic and among the staff this week, the message traffic. And for a pastor used to being on the scene, so to speak, in these situations, it was kind of agonizing to see the death of a four-year-old play out. And just the reports, oh, something's going bad. Oh, we're going to have a life flight. Oh, well, maybe, no, this, and it's just back and forth and back and forth. And just the agony of seeing this life pass away. And so some people will have that kind of thing coming up. This coming year may have jolts like that for you, for all of us, for all we know. You think, well, I hope that doesn't happen. But you know what? Success can be terrible. I was teaching a course in work and leisure, and we found out that in Britain, they had, at least for a time, a government statement on dangers of winning the lottery. You know, I mean, if you go, winning a lottery can mess you up. I mean, you can find yourself with $100 million and then just wreck your life. And they have like all these lists. Don't tell everybody you've got it. Don't figure all budgets make no sense. Don't do this. Don't do that. Don't do that. And sometimes success can be one of the worst things that happens to you. Because now you think, oh, there are whole new rules. Or like, everything's off. I don't have to be this. I don't have to be that. Or you just are pray to all kinds of crazy things. So we could pray also, Lord, don't let me have too much success this year. I might not be able to handle it. Some people say, oh, things were going so well and things were dull and so I got careless and so, you know, we were prosperous and then next thing you know, I'd slipped into this or that. So just regular good times can be dangerous. Others can say, we were doing so well and then this came up and I lost my mind and I did this sort of thing and the like. And so shocks can be dangerous. So it's a perilous world. Therefore, securely anchored, whether you're with the yellow background of gold or the dark background of poverty or something, or whether you're the silver cord of this or that, whatever comes your way, success, disease, firing, a beautiful family shows up, a wonderful wedding, a terrible divorce, whatever, things are going to come in 2020. And so we say early on, be anchored. Be anchored in the Lord. Now, he says, be holy, you know, and there's a quote from Leviticus, be holy as I am holy, for God says I am holy, be holy. Holy's kind of gotten bad press lately, you know. We think of, if you know Saturday Night Live, and shame on you if you do, but if you do know Saturday Night Live, church lady, you know, like, oh, no, I don't want to be church lady. Isn't that special? You know, that's holy. Just a prissy little judgmental nerd or something like that. But that's not what he says. He starts with saying, get ready for action. Holiness is connected with action. Now, I kind of hesitate to bring this up because you may think, I don't even want to think about you in one of these Lycra things. But these are jerseys that I wore. Yeah, you'll be in therapy for years. I wish I could unsee this, but I'm not going to put it on. But at Southern, we have biked across Iowa. It's called RAGBRAI, Register Annual Great Bike Ride Across Iowa, which is about 500 miles spread out over 7 days. And we wear these, and I don't think you can see up here. Well, certainly we have the logo of, you know, the Holy Spirit dove and the Word of God and the cross and the like. But if you look closely, you have pinstripes here, And going down is John 1:1 in Greek, and going up is Genesis 1:1 in Hebrew. And so Bereshit bara Elohim et hashamayim ve'et ha'aretz, and you're just biking along, 10,000 other people like, hey, son, what's that? Bingo, witness opportunity, hand them the card, laminated so it doesn't get wet, and we witness. And then, previously, when I worked at Midwestern, we had this one. Prairie Fire got the logo. We have worn this biking up the Nile across Iowa. I've worn this through Flanders fields in Belgium, witnessing, and stood with Egyptian soldiers for a Polaroid where I'm wearing this, and they're holding AK-47s to guard us from the Muslim Brotherhood. But there's that cross that's on a permanent Polaroid that we gave them. Well, you don't just hop on a bike and go 500 miles in 7 days, like, hey, we're going to Iowa. Anybody want to go do that? Oh, boy, it's tough. Because they say you should put enough miles in before to equal the total ride. So 500, and it's not just in the quads, and it's also in the seat, okay? And it's good to have special moleskin things. I won't go into great detail, but I'm just saying it's a tough go. You don't just jump on and go. But boy, when you do it, when you are burning and hitting on all cylinders, it's exhilarating, and you can just track along. My son Jedediah and my son Caleb found themselves riding beside Lance Armstrong for 9 miles, witnessing to him. They couldn't have kept up if they hadn't trained. And so when he says, be holy, he says, get ready for action. You know, get in shape. You know, do away. Don't have those suet sandwiches that you love so much, or whatever you're into. Get in shape. Now, here's the good news. I mean, I technically, because this stretches, I could get into this today. But the nice thing is, and of course, I'm older now than when I did this last. One of the great things about the faith is that you can get in better shape the older you get. Now, sure, metabolism slows down. I had a little granddaughter named Agnes who I would be sitting down watching TV. She would come up and she'd say, Shusha's been feeding Grandpa too well. You don't need grandkids like that, but she's right. But the older you get, the more consecrated you could get as you realize the fruitlessness of other paths and the like. So when we're talking about being holy, we're talking about getting in shape and doing away with diversions. And then he talks about don't invest in gold and silly things that, you know, lose their value and the like, but you invest in the things of God. I was going through one of my old missions books, and I found this from the Banco Central do Brasil. And it is 100,000 cruzeiros. Sweet, 100,000 cruzeiros. Well, in 1970, this was worth $20,000. When we got there, I'll say in 83, it was worth $100. In 84, $33. In 85, $10. And when we got there, when I used this, in 86, it was worth $7. From $20,000 to $7. Just inflation just ate it alive. We landed in a town called Belém, which means Bethlehem, at the mouth of the Amazon, and then went inland for about 10 days. When we came back, our cruzeiros had lost 10% of their value in 10 days. Finally, they had to come out with a new currency called the cruzado, and they just lopped off 2 zeros, and they tried that for a while, and it just became more and more useless. I think today, of course, this is just worth nothing. I mean, just, you know, I mean, really. And you just bet on these things. Like, and even gold, you know, it's up, it's down and stuff. That, even that kind of stuff just goes. The thing that lasts, the thing that gets more valuable, what, the longer I serve him, the sweeter it grows, you know? That's where you invest. These things play out. And by the way, you know, we looked at those knots, and some people have high circumstances and low circumstances. Starting not this Wednesday night, but the next Wednesday night, we'll just do a different biography each Wednesday night. And one of them coming up soon is Fanny Crosby, if you know her. Wonderful hymn writer. You know, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. She wrote that and a lot of other stuff. And she was blind. And she became blind as a child. I mean, that's got to be a terrible blow to have that jolt you. I mean, she gives this account. When I was 6 weeks of age, a slight cold caused an inflammation in my eyes, which appeared to demand the attention of the family physician. But he was not being at home, a stranger was called. He recommended the use of hot poultices, which ultimately destroyed the sense of sight. When this sad misfortune became known throughout our neighborhood, the unfortunate man thought it best to leave, and we never heard of him again. So here she gets a treatment. Some think it was really a congenital thing. The guy didn't really do it, but apparently it provoked it and, you know, exacerbated the problem. And then she's blind. Woe is me. I'm blind. My situation is terrible. Jesus has very little to offer me. I'll just sit in the corner and eat worms until I die or something like that. Here's what she says. But I have not for a moment in more than 85 years felt a spark of resentment against him, because I have always believed from my youth to this very moment that the good Lord, in his infinite mercy, by this means consecrated me to the work that I am still permitted to do. In other words, and she develops this thought, thank God I was blind, because I would have chased after 1,000 things, but I've been laser-like in my work, God's great mercy. High, low, if you're anchored to the Lord, then you have peace and you have joy. And he talks about, here he says, people who have inherited, the empty ways they've inherited from the fathers, and how they've been just confused and chasing after 1,000 things. That's what the world is doing. Yesterday, I had a high mission from my dear wife, Sharon, who's back doing volunteer coordination at our home church. She'll be back next time. She said, when you go through Fort Campbell, you get over there and see if you can find a wet jet swifter rig for cheap. So I was on a high mission, not to mention the extra little box of 24 accoutrements. So there I was, stumbling into the fewer than 10 items automatic checkout line at Fort Campbell. And there was a guy, a Rasta man, and he had, what do you call that with the dreads? It's a snood, I think, for women. I forget what you call it, but it's that big kind of bag that you put your hair in. And the Rasta man was very helpful. And I said, oh, do you have a Kebra Nagast? He said, oh, yeah. And I got a Quran, and I got a Bible, you know. Well, here's the deal. When we were in Evanston, the printer we had at Minuteman Press was a Rastafarian. And we went back and forth for about 9 years working on each other. And he was trying to get me to believe that Haile Selassie was the Lion of Judah and that, you know, all that sort of stuff. And Ethiopia was the Promised Land or Eden. And I was trying to persuade him, not quite. But he said, you need to read our scripture, the Kebra Nagast. So I ordered it. And I noticed it had a foreword by Ziggy Marley. So when your scripture has a foreword by Ziggy Marley, you know you're in for a ride. And so I read through this, and so we started talking, Kebra Nagast, but he was very proud that he had a Quran and the other scriptures because he didn't want to be in a corner. Rather, he wanted to just draw from all these faiths, and he was just almost testifying to the glories of pluralism. And so I go into my little, you know, I really appreciate that. And he was very helpful because I was not checking out right. I didn't know what to scan, and kind of like a chimp with a mallet there. I was just didn't know what I was doing. Very kind. But I did suggest that Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me. And it's like, man, I hate to spoil your party, but you were so soaked up. You're not even a good Rasta man. You're just bleh, you know? Well, bleh is the way the world thinks. You know, you say potato, I say potato, it doesn't matter, it's all, it'll. And you say, it ain't that way. That's the vanity of your ignorance. There really is one way, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Listen, I was watching the Hawaii Bowl the other night, and it was Brigham Young, wasn't it, against Hawaii? I think that's right. And they ran this ad 2 or 3 times, and this guy's an Hawaiian chef, and he walks out kind of in the forest there, and he just holds up his hands and has this kind of animistic communion with trees or something. And like, oh man, that's heavy. He's just absorbing the ethos and the pathos and the whatever of the timber there or the leaves, and he goes in and he makes this kind of salsa or something. I don't know what it was. But that passes for wisdom today, that you are communing with nature, not like a Boy Scout, like, hey, that's a nice tree, let's protect it, but it's like there's power here. And that's part of the ignorance that actually ties a lot of the world up. And they just kind of get into this kind of animistic nature worship sort of thing. And we just wade into this knucklehead world and say, Jesus is the way. And they did that back then. We have to do that today. The same thing. And then he says, this started from the choosing at the foundation of the earth, from the beginning. One of my favorite ads, I have to say, is for AT&T, where okay is not good enough, and the surgeon comes in, and he's walking in. I don't know if you've seen that. And he comes in, and he says, how's Dr. Jones? Oh, he's okay. Just okay. And he walks in, hey, I've been reinstated. Well, it's not official yet. You've seen that? And he said, are you nervous? Yeah. And he said, yeah, me too. He says, we'll work it out. We'll figure it out. And he walks out, and the nurse is kind of like that. And she's like, and it's not like God said, oh, man, I had this great plan for you guys. And didn't work. Well, we'll figure it out. He didn't just like figure it out when sin came into the world. He didn't just figure it out when Paul was, cast out in different places and Stephen stoned and things were crazy in the Roman Empire. It's like, wow, okay, this is complex. We'll figure it out. No, he had it figured out from the very beginning. And when you are walking with God, when you're serving God, when you're tied with God, you're tied in with the history, the plan of the universe, okay? It is a great assurance that he's not winging it as it would be. We're running out of time. Let me just say, there are other things, but my mind just went crazy with joy over all these images. But it struck me, I should maybe acquaint you with journaling. Don Whitney, one of our professors, got me into it, and so I've got this little journal. Some days I don't have a whole lot. I think on December 25th, I said something like, big morning, many presents all around, brunch at 11:30. That's it. That's enough for the day. Other days, I paste things in here. I've got stuff from the Hong Kong airport, and I've got a name tag from a conference I went to and a program and this and that. But basically, I just sort of write down what went on. But at the top, quite often, I will put T and C. T means thanks. And you can't see this straight off, but this is where I had a physical test and I was frightened a bit, and it worked out great. And here was a case of an awkward dissertation I was advising, and a colleague said, I'll take it. Yes, big T here, okay. And then over here, C for concern, and I have weight here. I haven't checked that off as answered yet. And then a book contract, Wiffenstock, and I put a check later. What you can do is you can go back and see where God said yes to your prayers. And you can go back and see what you were doing, whether or not, and here's sermon illustrations for my son when he preaches and like that. It's a way to keep track of your life. It's not like the big flash buying moment of 2020 that's going to be the big definition, when you win the lottery or whatever, or the horse race up here across the river, or when you are dashed because the plant closes or whatever the thing might be. It's that steady, day in, day out, faithful, tied to the Word of God, sail set for the Spirit, in season, out of season, when everybody's there, when nobody's there, when you feel great, when you feel lousy, just that steady life, and you watch God's grace and His work and those reflections. I, by accident, bought an extra copy of my 2021, and I thought, I'm not going to take that back. It may be that somebody here would volunteer to fill this up. I'm not going to read it, but would anyone like to journal in 2020, keeping a careful account of just the days, prayers, and so forth? How about a student? Is there a student here that I would give this to? I'm not going to check up on you, except to say, how are you doing? But anybody? Anybody? Bueller? Ah, somebody's been picked out by a friend here. You have been chosen, whether you like it or not. My gift to you. Try to do that. Try to journal. The rest of you, write it wherever. But understand that by being tied to the Lord with your sail set for the Spirit, which will blow you into obedience and into a proper walk, with the spirit of a Fanny Crosby that just says, blind, PTL, here we go, praise the Lord. Won the lottery, don't do lottery. I'll get another example here. Get a raise, don't go crazy, be rooted. If things are dull, don't get sloppy. If things are dangerous and wild, don't lose your mind. Steady, steady, so that you can enter this new world in a great way, and at the end of the day, end of the year, say, well, glory to God. Wasn't that a wonderful thing that he gave me? Dear Lord, thank you for giving us in 2019 some serious scares and jolts, but some blessings, ups and downs, and yet you were never up or down. You were there. You have been chosen. Your mission, your mercies have been from the founding of the earth. You have been there for us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for what's coming. In your holy name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.